Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you can spend some time with us. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Well, welcome. Mary, you were going to list a few of the topics that we're going to go through.
Well, we're going to talk about the recent murder of the hostages in the Middle East and President Biden's reaction, Prime Minister Netanyahu's reaction, and Hamas's statement, and the support for Palestine in the U.S. We're going to be talking about some recent developments in terms of Chinese involvement in American politics. We're going to be talking about X being banned in Brazil and the right to free speech.
And that's so, right here in the U.S. too.
Yes. And some strange things that went on recently with Alexa. And we're going to be talking about Chicago and Colorado, some incidents with some Venezuelan gang members, and some comments on the economy and some events at Ohio State. So we're going to start out with the recent murder of the hostages in the Ramallah. Was it Ramallah?
Well, what it was, they went into, the IDF went in to rescue
Rafah.
Some hostages.
Rafah, that's right, I'm sorry.
And before they got there, they were summarily executed.
Just as they were ready to be rescued, Hamas killed them. And Hamas has made a statement that if you try to rescue any more hostages, we'll kill them. Biden was asked by the press, do you think Netanyahu has done enough to bring peace, and Biden said no. And Netanyahu made a speech where he commented on the fact that Israel has approved 5 ceasefire agreements. Hamas has approved none. The last one that Israel approved was 5 days ago. What has changed? Why is the president putting the pressure on Israel rather than putting the pressure on Hamas? Hamas is the one killing people. And the other aspect of this is the unfortunate amount of support for Palestine in America. We had marches in New York supporting Palestine after the hostages were killed.
Well, you know, Mary, there's a couple of things that are important to remember, and I think the swing state election results are part of what's motivating Biden and Harris, their administration, to pressure Netanyahu to go soft on these brutal terrorists, which we should not be doing. And it's for votes. I think they believe that they could possibly win Michigan and some other states, perhaps, if they get the Palestinian people who favor the Palestinians on their side and vote for them.
Well, I know that the Biden administration does not like Netanyahu's government, and they've been trying to bring it down because that government is a government that, number one, supported Trump, and number two, is willing to fight for the survival of Israel. And unfortunately, the Biden administration agrees with the Obama administration's vision for the Middle East, which was a strong Iran and a weak Israel, which is total insanity because Iran is a tyranny and Israel is a free country. But for whatever reason, the Biden administration and the Obama administration don't support freedom in other countries, and they've shown that in a lot of their actions.
And I think the Biden administration is trying to get Israel to negotiate with people whose objective is the total elimination of Israel.
Yes.
And you can't negotiate in that situation.
Yeah, Hamas's charter calls for the elimination of Israel.
And let's not forget the religious context behind all of this. It's Christians and Muslims. And that has a lot to do with who wants who eliminated.
Yeah, because there's Christian support for Israel also. And it just, we're on the wrong side of this right now. We really are. Our administration is on the wrong side of this.
I guess my assessment would be that I'm not sure they're on any side. They have totally been
silent and inactive on any thoughts about going to try to get the people from America hostages out. I mean, we've never known hostages to be taken by other countries, that we've let them sit there for a year without any strategy to extract them.
At least with the Iranian hostages in 1978, there was a mission to rescue them. It did fail, but
right.
there was a mission
there
to rescue
attempt.
Them. You know, at least we made the attempt. But the other part of this is the Biden administration, behind the scenes, is still working on that Iranian nuclear deal that the Obama administration was so desperate to do. It is not a deal that is going to protect anyone, and it is a deal that's going to allow Iran to get nuclear weapons. And that is, if you want a definition of insanity, that's it.
Well, you know, it's a troubling thing about all this, too, Mary, and that is the fact that a lot of funds have been sent to Hamas, a lot of funds and money from the United States and other countries, mm-hmm. so ostensibly for humanitarian purposes and so on. And the truth of the matter is it's been used primarily to build these tunnels to get ready to attack Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the degree to which we do not monitor what these foreign countries do with the aid that we give them.
Well,
we give them this aid. It's like a blank check. We don't verify what's being used. There ought to be monitors. We ought to verify it. For them to have an opportunity to build all these tunnels and to accumulate all these weapons without us knowing about that, it's shocking. That's got to stop.
One of the contentions in the negotiation is the tunnel complex between Israel and Hamas, because that tunnel between Egypt and Hamas, because that tunnel is being used to supply Hamas. And Israel says, we need to be in control of those tunnels, or we need to destroy them, or we're just going to continually have a problem with this. And that is one of the contentious reasons they haven't come to a truce.
By the way, there's another opinionated thing. It says in a scathing U.S. government inspector general's report, President Joe Biden was said to have wasted $230 million of taxpayer money in a harebrained maritime operation known as the pier.
Yes,
the
floating pier. And that money probably never went to the pier, but it went to everything else.
Well, based on the success of that pier, that's a pretty good assessment.
What's our next?
That's typical of the Biden-Harris administration, is the failure.
Yeah.
What they do, everything they do fails. And as we saw in Afghanistan, and they still haven't come out and admitted that what they did was incorrect.
No.
And the same thing with, you'll never hear about that pier, that was a mistake. And, you know, the idea that we as an ally of Israel, and Israel's being attacked by someone who wants to completely exterminate them, that we would in any way try to control what they do, to try to limit their ability to protect themselves, that would be similar to what could have happened in World War II. We killed hundreds of thousands of Japanese civilians when we dropped the atomic bombs on them. And England, or none of our allies, pressured us not to do that. They knew we had to do it, because if we hadn't, we'd have lost, they estimate we would have lost 500,000 to 700,000 men, Americans, if we had to invade Japan. And Japan would not concede.
And we also,
just like Hamas does not concede.
We also would have destroyed the Japanese population also. There would have been no winner had that happened. I think we need to head on out to the next topic here.
Okay, go for it.
A former aide to two New York governors has been charged with being an agent for China.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, this is Linda Sun, who worked for Andrew Cuomo and then for Kathy Hochul.
Now, this is familiar, because didn't we have, was it Eric Solwell couple years ago who was
sleeping with a Chinese spy,
who was his in his staff somehow, right?
In the staff, yeah.
She worked on his campaign,
and he was on the intelligence committee.
Correct. Well, this collusion between the Chinese government and our elected officials is a little bit smelly.
Feinstein in on that too, right? She had
her driver was her chauffeur.
Was a Chinese agent. Yeah, we have a problem with China, and we have a problem in the current administration with China. Seems like an awful lot of money has gone into shell companies that have paid for some really nice houses that Joe Biden, as a public servant, seems to have acquired. And similar to the Biden situation, this lady, Linda's son, and her husband have a $4 million home on Long Island and a $2 million home in Hawaii, a Ferrari, and some other things. And it seems to me that if you've got a public servant with that kind of money, and I know her husband was a businessman, but when they looked at his businesses, they found a lot of shell companies. Now, we found a lot of shell companies with the Biden family, too.
It's called money laundering.
And it seems like, you know, somebody should have been awake a long time before this.
Well, it's, you know, go back to what they were always talking about in that with Reagan. What did he know and when did he know it? There's a lot of things that are known. And as long as everybody's wink, wink, and it suits the agenda, it's all okay. Just look at the press with what's coming out now with all of the stuff against Hunter and Biden. And now that Biden is not a player, it's coming out in the media. It's the agenda.
Well, also look at the fact that the FBI knew in 2019 that the laptop was real. And yet we had those 51 agents writing this letter saying it was Soviet disinformation.
And how is it that these people get hired without being vetted? And how are they getting any kind of background clearance with these connections unless it's intentional?
And somebody's got to be clearing the skids for them to get through, you know.
And why are we looking at a vice presidential candidate that's made 30 trips to China? There's some real questions here.
Yes, he spent a lot of time in China.
And got married and had his honeymoon in China to coordinate with the Tiananmen Square. And as an administrator in high school, took I don't know how many trips to China with students and told them to downplay their Americanism when they were there. He hates the American Foundation, and he thinks we should be a socialist communist nation.
I think that's right. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters, and that's done with an exclamation point. Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Folks, we're not going to let that China topic sit. Welcome back, by the way. We're not going to let that China topic sit. Glenn, you wanted to add something.
Well, I mean, the husband of this employee has businesses, and one of those businesses was medical equipment. And that kind of, we don't know the details of that, but it's hard to believe that that didn't somehow connect in with all the activities related to COVID. It was during an era when Cuomo was in there and she was involved, so.
Yes.
And we got to understand that we follow the money.
Yeah. And another issue is, why are the American colleges so actively recruiting Chinese students? It seems like we are importing our own destruction.
And when they, particularly in the sciences, when they go home, they bring their research with them. The other part of that is some of our major cities actually have divisions of the Chinese police department policing the Chinese citizens in America, watching what they do, and essentially bringing the social credit system of China to America on the Chinese that are living here.
You know, one of the other quirks that we understood back a few years ago was, as you bring foreign students over to go to the colleges here, those students go back home with their knowledge and they work back home. American students, when they have graduated and they work here, they also recontribute back to those schools. The foreign students never contribute back to the schools. Some of our schools were endowed by very successful business people, but those are not the offshore successful people. Where are we going?
We're going to Brazil. Brazil has banned X, formerly known as Twitter.
And the Brazil Supreme Court apparently agreed
with
that.
Yes, they upheld the ban. They just don't believe that Elon Musk has the right to free speech. They are going to censor it. And the thing about this that bothered me was a quote by Kamala Harris about the fact that free speech is a privilege, and that Elon Musk has abused that privilege and therefore he is being denied his right of free speech. Well, last time I checked, free speech was in the First Amendment and it was a right given by God. It was not a privilege. So it is disturbing to me that someone running for president thinks that free speech is a privilege.
Well, for years I've said that freedom is an illusion that we are allowed to have as long as we comply. And the more of this kind of activity that goes on, the more I'm convinced I'm right.
Well, recently on Facebook, there was a picture of an American eagle asking people to pray for America. And the picture was blocked as violent content. And you had to click about two or three clicks to get to the picture that was a picture of an eagle asking you to pray for America. So we are being censored. I have had stories pulled off Facebook that I know are true.
Right.
And they're claiming fake news. And I just go ahead and delete them because it's not worth the hassle. But again, we are being censored. Social media is not free.
Even with what's come out with the Facebook stuff and Twitter and the Zuckerbucks, the Zuckerbucks, what he has said, it still seems like Facebook is censoring things.
Well, I think Twitter.
Oh, they still are.
I still think Twitter is censored to some degree, but Mark Zuckerberg came out and said he was pressured not to let the story of the laptop get out, and that influenced the 2020 election.
Right.
Because the people
directly,
had known that.
Directly. Yeah.
Yes. And it's interesting that Zuckerberg has said he will not do Zuckerbucks in this election. He's going to stay out of it. Now, that tells me, now this is just my interpretation, but that tells me he's afraid Trump's going to win, and he doesn't want to be on the wrong side of that.
And anybody that would believe Mark Zuckerberg, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn, this stuff that he was pressured. Here's somebody that donates over $400 million to support Democratic campaigns, and then he's going to complain that he was forced to support the Democratic effort, and that anybody's going to believe that? It's just like you say, he's afraid that perhaps if Trump does get elected, that he will face something that he doesn't want to face. It needs to be done.
And he actually used the word censorship in his statement, too. So he just put it out there that he was censoring under pressure.
He was censoring.
And I agree, it didn't have to be much pressure.
A lot of pressure. a lot of compliance. Yes.
Saw that example. It's kind of a related thing. As what's been happening with Alexa, that voice-activated system that's sponsored by Amazon. And apparently a video came out the other day that showed that if you asked Alexa a question, and it was about... About Kamala Harris, you got all kinds of positive reasons that you should vote for. If you said anything about Donald Trump, what you got was... either we can't say anything or you get a lot of negative information. Mm-hmm. So that was by, and that was just, and so people, if you think that it's not happening in this election, again, you're being very naive. It happened in, 2020, but it's happening now also.
Well, Alexa,
by the way, time out, folks. By the way, Alexa is listening to us right here, and she's trying to respond. She's just not in microphone range, but she is attempting to respond right
but
now.
But she has been revised so that doesn't happen anymore. But I just happened to grab the video and embed it on Right Wing Granny, and it is up there, and they can't take it down because it's on my site. So I have that video embedded because I wanted to save it, and I have learned from experience that YouTube will take something down if it's been controversial. So if I embed it in Right Wing Granny, they can't get their little paws on it, and it stays there.
Is it there now, Mary, or is that going up tomorrow? You talked about...
It is going up tomorrow.
Okay, because I want to look at that.
And tomorrow is Thursday.
It's 2 days. And tomorrow, folks, for this thing, tomorrow is 2 days ago.
Tomorrow is September 5th.
This whole idea about Alexa, it's really amazing the degree to which we now allow an outside data gathering group to monitor everything you say.
Not at my house.
But your phone is doing that anyway.
What I'm saying, people who have Alexa, that's what's happening. Now, they try to reassure you, we don't keep records of anything and all this stuff. But the point is, we've given them the capability. So if they want to spy on you at any time, let's say, for example, like they found with the January 6th people, they went back to their cell phones, found out where they were, the location where they were, and the time where they were. And they could do the same thing. They could monitor your conversation, go, all right, we'll find out what you were saying to your spouse or a friend or whomever in your house. And we're allowing that to happen. We're allowing these things right into our midst, all kind of naively thinking, well, they're going to do the right thing. Well, we already know they don't do the right thing.
Well, our phones are already doing that. And I don't know if it has changed, but one of the ways, remember there was a time when the leaders of Al-Qaeda, every time someone would become the leader of Al-Qaeda, they got knocked off and somebody else had to step in and be the leader, and then they got knocked off. Evidently, they were doing that through listening to cell phones. So your cell phone, if you want to have a really private conversation, go out in the middle of your front yard or your backyard, leave your cell phone in the house, and go have a conversation.
Use two tin cans connected by a string.
Or like they had to do in that book, 1984, they had to sneak off into the woods to get away from being monitored. But the latest kick, which I heard yesterday, is that the automobile industry they're considering installing in your vehicle a mechanism that will take photographs of anybody that speeds by you. So let's say you're driving down a highway and you're doing a speed limit, and somebody goes past you and they're exceeding the speed limit, that system in your car will detect that, and they will take a photograph of that and report that person. So we'll be reporting on each other without even knowing. So all of a sudden, we're part of the problem.
Another tax. Just another tax.
So we're going to be the mobile snitch.
Well, there was a move, I think it got squashed, where the car companies were going to put something in your car that if you weren't up to date on your payments, the car was going to drive you to the bank or wherever you had to make the money.
Pull over and stop or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't do something you were supposed to, you have 30 minutes of engine time, and then your car is going to stop.
And we still think all this AI is a good thing.
Yeah. And I think, Alan, you experienced that with your truck.
With the truck, yes. Yeah.
Would you explain that?
Yeah, what happens is the diesel... All diesel trucks now, they come with what they call a diesel exhaust system. And if that system starts having a problem, you get a warning on your dashboard saying, if you don't get this repaired within so many miles, the vehicle will be reduced to going no faster than 5 miles an hour. And they control that, and that's what happens. And you have to go to an authorized dealer, because that's the only people who have the parts for it. But it's a very scary thing. And it's built in because the Environmental Protection Agency required the automobile manufacturers to install it that way. They weren't relying on the people to monitor, to keep their own systems working. They wanted a system of enforcement, which gets back to these federal agencies controlling everything we do.
Except crime.
Except crime is by illegals, particularly.
But that, as you say, that's another indication of an agency passing what works as a law rather than a law being passed by Congress. And the Chevron decision by the Supreme Court may kind of slow that down a little bit, because there will be, I believe, more lawsuits based on the Chevron decision that might just slow down the bureaucracy, and then depending on our election in November, it might be slowed down further.
And you've got the big brother things from the insurance companies that they're putting into cars.
Yes.
That if you drive under the speed limit and don't stop too fast, you'll get a little discount on your premium.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy that car.
I think you put that in yourself.
Well, folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters and to let the NSA catch up with our thoughts, and we'll be right back.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
God and Country Christian Alliance's 31st Annual God and Country Banquet is scheduled for Monday, September 16th at the Havelock Tourist and Event Center. Our keynote speaker is Mr. John Rustett of North Carolina Family Policy Council. Tickets are $30 each or $225 for a table of eight. Sponsorships are also available. Visit our website, godandcountrync.org, to purchase tickets. God and Country Christian Alliance's mission is to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. concern, to restore to all levels of government the Judeo-Christian values upon which the nation was founded, and to encourage and activate pro-family voters. To learn more about us, visit GodAndCountryNC.org. We look forward to seeing you on September 16th. This year, we also have a silent auction. The doors will open at 5:30 p.m., with the program starting promptly at 6:30 p.m. Check us out at GodAndCountryNC.org.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you again, folks, for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, CCTA Wake Up Call Show. We thank you that you're staying with us. Alan, you wanted to take us off to the economy so we can go on that roller coaster?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. I noticed the other day, and I assume anybody that's has money in the stock market noticed that yesterday the market went down. Dow Jones went down over 600 points. And what shocks me is how high the stock market is, actually, given a lot of the information that's available and the concerns about the status of the economy. So it makes you wonder, well, what are these people seeing that we're not seeing? I mean, what the typical person is seeing is higher costs of everything. Housing, for example. The average house now, the median house in the United States is $410,000. Wow. And in the year 2000, it was $122,000. So it's gone up three times. And the cost of groceries and so on, they say it's up 20%. I believe it's up a whole lot more than that. So you have all this inflation and you have layoffs. For example, the tech industry reported they laid in the last 2 years, they laid off almost 600,000 workers. GM just laid off 100,000. Ford laid off 20,000. So you have these layoffs occurring, and yet the stock market keeps going up, up, up. It's over 40,000. And I think part of that is you look into it. I read this article the other day about false information coming out of the Biden-Harris administration. And for example, let me give you just one example, and there's some others. It has to do with the what they call the consumer spending. One of the indicators that's supposed to show that the economy is doing well is the degree to which consumers are spending money to buy things. Okay, well, that makes sense. If you have money, you buy stuff. But what they do is they report the increase in what people are spending, but they don't take into account inflation. So, for example, if 4 years ago you could buy something for $100, and now that same item costs $200, they report that as a 100% increase in consumer spending. When in reality, the consumer's still buying the same item, they're just having to pay more. And, you know, this is the kind of information that people are looking at and say, well, the economy's doing well. But you do have some economists, maybe in the, you know, the minority, that are pointing some of this stuff out. The data coming out of the administration, totally unreliable as if, in terms of the economy.
Well, you know, Alan, along with that, and again, as you mentioned, the cost of a house went from 100-something thousand up to essentially 400,000. Well, what about the cost of insurance on that house?
Yeah.
It cost me so much, three times as much to insure exactly the same house. Yeah. And yeah. We sit here listening to Some of the, some of the Bidenites or Kamalaites or whatever else you want to call it, saying, well, that insurance industry is gouging us. Well, guess what? They're not gouging us. Biden and Kamala are gouging us.
You also have the fact that California is looking at a law that would give $150,000 to illegal immigrants toward a house. They wouldn't have to make mortgage payments on the house. And then when they sold it, they would have to give 20% to the state of California. Well, my first reaction to that, first of all, is American citizens need not apply. That's probably illegal. And what can you buy in California for $150,000? A garage?
A vote.
Maybe?
A vote.
Yeah. That's a good answer, Kim. Mm-hmm. But again, that will do nothing but drive up the price of housing in California and decrease the availability. And again, we're doing this for people who have broken the law in coming here. And what are we doing about all the homeless veterans on the street? I'm sorry, that just totally infuriates me.
And another thing they pointed out about the misinformation, if you will, hate to use that term, how about the lies coming out of the Biden Harris administration is the reports on employment. They report every month that so many jobs were created and so on. And in reality, first of all, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has been in error over the last 3 years. They've been in error by over 800,000 jobs that they've reported as being created that were not created. So there's almost a million jobs that were reported that actually didn't happen. And they've had to go back and change their statistics, diminishing them over 15 times in the last 2 years. So here you get an agency that part of the Biden administration that is reporting data on jobs that doesn't exist.
Well, the other part of that, too, is how many of those jobs were not new jobs, but people returning to work after they got shut down by COVID.
And how many of them are government jobs?
Well, that's part of it.
I should have mentioned that. A lot of them were actually federal and state government jobs that a majority of the new jobs being created. And those do not add to the economy. They actually detract it from the economy because they take taxpayer money to support them, which then that money can't be used to expand the economy.
Yep. Government jobs cannot produce anything.
No, they don't produce.
And people that live on a budget, you know, if you say you live by the envelope system where you get your paycheck and you put $20 in this envelope for eating out or a movie, whatever. Who was that? Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
That did that. Right. Anyway, it reminds me of when our daughter was in high school, and it was in the late 1900, early 2000s. But she said, I don't know why people complain about the price of gas going up, because I put the same $20 in every week. You know, so that's how a lot of people are looking at this and not feeling the economic thing, because if they only have $20 to spend, that's all they're spending. They're not saying, I'm not buying as much. Well, even though they know it to be fact, they can still hide behind that, well, I only spent $20 on gas, but it only bought me 2 gallons.
And we look at that silly meme that somebody says, you know, $100 worth of groceries, I am now much stronger because I can carry $100 worth of groceries in one hand.
Right.
Whereas I used to only be able to carry $20 or $30
in
groceries.
And I actually did that last week, and it blew my mind. Cost of bleach, the cost of vinegar, things we couldn't even eat, toilet paper, paper towels.
Yeah. It's awful.
And you know what's scary is what's going on with the national debt. We're now at the point where it's over $35 trillion. And a lot of people, you've heard that term trillion so long, we've kind of become immune to it in a ways. But the point is, we're like a family that has the credit cards, and the only thing they're concerned about is being able to pay the minimum of the interest every month. And they're just keeping the bill and the amount that they're in debt with no limit. That's where we're at, a no limit debt. Right now, it costs almost $1 trillion a year. It's $918 billion just to pay the interest on the national debt every year. And it's, every 3 months, it goes up by $1 trillion. Now, what does it boil down to? It boils down to every taxpayer right now owes $268,000. It would take that to pay off the national debt. And we're not even trying to pay off the principal. All we're doing is keeping up with the interest. And it's and it just can't go on.
And with that debt and the budget and the fact that we're coming up again to another vote for continuation of government spending, the Republicans are trying to tie the SAVE Act, which means you have to be a U.S. citizen in order to vote in the election. And the Democrats are unilaterally opposed to this. Now, you tell me why the Democrats are opposed to being a U.S. citizen to vote. It's because they want the illegal vote. And it, remember, we talked a couple weeks ago, it's not about the illegal who registered illegally when they got their driver's license, because that person isn't going to show up to vote. But they will get an absentee ballot, and they will vote that ballot. They will cheat. This is about the ballots.
Somebody will vote that ballot.
The yes. other part of that is that when the SAVE Act initially came up, 5 Democrats voted for it, and it passed the House. Now, if those 5 Democrats do not vote for it this time, then we know this is political. This is a joke. And again, as Kim, as you said, why would anybody not want to make sure that our elections were secure and only American citizens got to vote? You want to go to another country as an American citizen and try to vote in their elections? Good luck. It's not happening.
I have to show ID to get Sudafed.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, we have to show IDs. Actually, you have to show an ID to get welfare.
Or a bank account.
Or a bank account.
So how are these illegals getting all the freebies? What are they showing?
Well, they're showing, getting driver's license.
I'm going to say they're showing up.
They don't have to show anything because as illegals, they get it for free. They don't have to be citizens.
And I'm just trying to point that out to people that might not understand my sarcasm.
If you want a bank account, you can't get a bank account without some kind of identification. And if you want to collect food stamps or whatever, you probably need to have a bank account of some sort, or, you know, some way of identifying yourself to collect that stuff. So let's go for voter ID, and let's go for making sure that we're giving our welfare benefits to people who haven't broken the law to get here.
And Amen. all this indicates is that we have a political party in this country now that will do anything to stay in power. It doesn't matter what the rules are. It doesn't matter how they have to fabricate things, or you have a candidate that comes up and says, I believe in this, I believe in A, B, C, D, and then 3 months ago she believed in the opposite of those things. It's all a mechanism to stay in power, and that's what we're dealing with. And, you know, unless no democracy can exist unless both sides agree to play by the rules. And what we have in this country now, we have 2 groups, and then one side doesn't care about the rules.
And half of the other side doesn't care either. I think it's both.
Well, I don't think they have the courage to change it. That's what irks me.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's both parties. There's corruption enough to spread around.
Well, when you say the courage to change it, do you mean the courage or do you mean the desire to change it? Because I don't think they have the desire to change it, because they're fat, dumb, and happy right now.
Right. Look at the rhinos that are against Trump's agenda. Look at the Chamber of Commerce. You know, you think something that should be an American institution.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with this, quote, uplifting show. we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, Go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Thank you, folks, for staying with us, and we're glad to be come back. And we're going to have Glenn. You were picking up something.
Yeah. Well, it says in some of our reference information, liberal writer labels U.S. Constitution as beyond redemption. It's a New York Times op-ed piece, but the writer's comments was that, you know, our basically our Constitution is anti-democratic, anti-democratic. And I'm saying, yeah, it should be, because we're a republic, not a democracy. It's not mob rule. And everything in the article referenced a mob rule mentality as being the panacea, being what we should be working towards. And that's just completely backwards to what we're about.
And it shows the wisdom of the founding fathers when they created the Constitution to install that electoral college. Because if that had not been done, right now we would be ruled by the big urban areas in this country, New York, California, Chicago, and the rest of the states would just have no power at all. That's the only thing that allows us to have any sort of semblance of balance of power. But you're absolutely right. Yeah.
But
and
in
that
the
was
state,
installed in such wisdom these people had. Then I look at some of the people that are running for office now, and I look at them and I say, well, does this person compare to one of the...
But if you look at the state government, that is exactly what you would have nationally. In our state, we have... how many counties? 121?
100 counties. 100.
There's five counties that basically rule the rest of the state because of their population. And when we talk in Craven County about the rules that are made by the General Assembly, made over our heads, so to speak, it's Wake, Durham, Guilford, Forsyth,
Mecklenburg.
Those are the five counties that make the majority of the decisions. They have the most representation in our General Assembly.
And do you really look at New York City, Chicago, and Los Angeles, the mess that those cities are? Do you really want to be ruled by the people that are running those cities? It would be awful. I want to make one more comment. The biggest mistake we ever made was the amendment
17th Amendment
that allowed for the direct election of senators rather than have them selected by their state legislature.
Agreed.
Because just as a for instance, the Inflation Reduction Act, which was horrible, and it was a green energy bill. It wasn't anything about inflation reduction. If Joe Manchin had been selected by the state legislature, when he voted for that, they would have pulled him back. He would never have voted for that. But he wound up voting for it based on a fake promise that they never kept.
Yes.
And then he, that's right, because that. If you look at our state representatives, our state representatives represent population areas. Our state senators also represent population areas. When we should have a representative, a senator speaking on behalf of two counties, because if you had 50 senators, they could each speak on two counties, and that would give. That would balance it out the way that it was supposed to be in the federal. Glad I confused that issue.
I want to change the subject here. And we've had an open southern border and a semi-open northern border for 3.5 years now. And there are consequences to that. And we have sanctuary cities. And we have non-sanctuary cities. Denver, Colorado is a sanctuary city. Aurora, Colorado is not. And unfortunately, a group of armed Venezuelan gang members who came across the border illegally have taken over an apartment building in Aurora, Colorado.
Now wait a minute. Okay. That they have taken over that apartment building, but apparently Aurora's political leadership says, no, that's not true.
Yeah, their sheriff was on Facebook yesterday saying, we're here and everything's okay.
And then you see the Ring doorbell pictures of the guys with machine guns breaking into people's apartments.
Which is a real good advertisement for the right to keep and bear arms.
Yes. And not only did this happen in Aurora, it's happening in Chicago. Now, Chicago, I believe, is a sanctuary city, which means in Aurora, they have a chance to arrest them and get them deported. In Chicago, they don't. And Chicago, of course, has very strict gun control. And some of the residents of Chicago, who are not known to be the kindest people in the world or the most law-abiding, have already said that you come after our apartment building, we'll introduce you to something called the Shiv. So they're going to get a little pushback in Chicago.
I agree. And what's scary about that is the confidence that these criminals are doing this, that it's broad daylight. It's not 2:00 in the morning at night. That video that has been all over the news is broad daylight.
Well, now, they have prosecutors in these cities that don't prosecute them, even so the police don't bother arresting them. And the other thing is, like New York City reported, 75% of the crime occurring in Manhattan right now is by illegal aliens, okay, that they let in as sanctuary cities. However, you just wait and see how the election comes out. See who they vote for. They are going to vote for the same people.
Yeah, why?
And you mentioned a minute ago, Mary, why would somebody want that? There's an election coming up that's going to determine whether the United States is going to be like San Francisco or California. And that's part of what we're facing.
One of the other stats on that is I understand that Venezuelan crime has gone down significantly since we've allowed them to come into our country. So their best and finest criminals are in our country now.
Isn't that an incredible coincidence?
Now, one of the nicest pictures that I've seen was about 150 motorcycles heading towards Aurora.
Yeah.
To try to help bring things into
the Hells Angels.
To try to bring things into
them.
Order. And folks, we may not like a vigilante society, but sometimes that appears to be necessary.
Well, they said that the people in the apartment complex, their rent payments were going to the Venezuelan gang, and it was under the guise of protection.
Oh.
That was what was said. But there was also another article that I read that said the landowner was trying to condemn the building in order to get the people out, and I don't know what the status of that
will Well, the be. Fact is you shouldn't have somebody with a machine gun standing outside your front door, no matter where you live, if they're not a law enforcement officer. I mean, that's just wrong.
And you know, we talk here in North Carolina a little bit about the Castle Doctrine and whatever else, you know, protecting your property. And it's hard to do some places where you're not allowed to. Your Second Amendment rights are infringed upon.
Yeah. I just want to say something very briefly about the Hells Angels. Many years ago, when our grandkids were little, we were visiting one of our kids and went to a breakfast with Santa. And we had no idea what we were walking into. And the breakfast with Santa was put on by a combination of the Hells Angels and the Christian Motorcycle Club of America working together to raise money for the returning Iraqi veterans to provide furniture, housing, whatever they needed. And we had breakfast with a Gold Star family, and it was an unbelievable experience to see, because a lot of the Hells Angels are Vietnam vets that never came home.
By the way, it was also co-sponsored by the Police Benevolence Association.
I didn't realize that. But a lot of the Hells Angels are Vietnam veterans who never came home. The Christian Motorcyclists of America, some of them are Vietnam veterans who had a hard time getting their lives together. And they were working because they knew how they were greeted as Vietnam veterans when they came home. And they wanted to make sure that the Iraqi veterans understood that they were appreciated. And I walked in and saw the two groups working together. It was unbelievable.
I still want to know, I want to ask Alan, with his background in the psychiatry, why the residents of places like New York and Chicago and Minnesota, why they continue to elect these radicals when it's affecting their own lives. They're paying for it at the gas station. They're paying it on their groceries and their income taxes. Why do they want these illegals and their criminals in their town with their children? I can't rationalize.
And then it's the same question. It's a very good question, Kim. It's similar to why the majority of Jews in this country vote for Democrats, who are most of them are anti-Israel. It's part of it is a tradition for people. They've been Democrats. They've always been Democrats. And they see the Republicans as some right-wing fanatics or whatever the legacy media, the fake media, is indoctrinating these people. That's what they listen to. That's
but
what they hear.
It's not so much listening to. It's when I go to the grocery store and I'm spending more money, I don't need anybody to tell me groceries have gone up.
We're going to find out this election how much that impacted is and whether these people that are living in these cities are finally getting fed up with the crime. I think some of them are.
But even having relatives out in California, and I'm just not going to mention who or whatever else, but having relatives out in California that are talking, well, these prices going up in the grocery store, that's where those producers are gouging us for profits.
So
no,
they're looking
they're not.
In the wrong place.
They're looking in the wrong place, and they're being told the wrong information.
Well, one of my cousins posted on Facebook that her son was having a hard time in California finding a place he could afford to live.
Well, just a homework assignment for everybody. Go look into retail and see what the profit margin on a grocery store is. Do
it's
it.
It's 1 point something.
Yeah. You weren't supposed to tell them. I said
very,
homework.
Very, yes. It's homework, yes.
we want people to make up their own mind. We try to give you information, and if you question what is said, that's a good thing, because it forces you to do your own homework and look your own things up. And just recently, there was something posted on Facebook. I loved it. I loved what it said. It made a point that I agree with. However, I looked at the rest of the story and found out it was out of context. So I sent a caution out to the person who had put it out. You know, I hate this, but you can't be promoting this. We don't like it when they do it to our side. We can't do it to them. And they pulled it.
Folks, on that, we're going to have to end the show. I'm going to ask you to go to the cctaxpayerswebsite.com, and we're going to be posting candidate interviews. You have a great day.